Let the church say amen.
Amen.
Brother Hall, would you pick up that last verse for a moment?
Amen. Amen. Last verse in the light.
Let us not grow weary in the work of love. In the light, in the light, let us gather jewels for a crown above. In the light, in the light, in the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine from shore to shore. In the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine forevermore, forevermore.
Let the church say amen.
Amen.
God is good
all the time.
And all the time.
To show you just how good God is, a plane fell from the sky on last week, and all 103 passengers walked away.
Amen.
So I know we serve a good God. And you ought to be thankful that you have this opportunity to serve Him this morning. This morning, we're going to talk about I will build my church. This is a review message this morning. Today, we are going to be speaking on a subject most of you already know about. So we will just review of what most of you have heard in some form or fashion from a long time ago, perhaps. Let us go to God in prayer before we go any further. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, you have blessed us once again to see the light of a new day. You have given us the will to get up this morning, given us the ability to use our limbs, our minds, and our bodies. You have given us all the abilities we need to get dressed and come out from our house to your house. We thank you, Father, for providing us with all the blessings you have. We pray that your blessings might continue to fall upon us. We thank you for the local congregation here, its leaders, and all the families that are represented here today. We pray and ask you to bless each and every one of them. We thank you, Father, for the day that we have. We understand it's going to be a somewhat warm day, but nevertheless, it's your weather, so you give it to us however you please. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, as we pray for the sick and the shut in. We pray for those who are missing today. We pray for those who have lost loved ones. We pray, O Heavenly Father, that you continue to favor them with your grace and your mercy. We pray and ask you to be with the parents who are raising their children this morning. We pray that they raise them up in the admonition of the Lord. Thank you, Lord. We pray for all of those, Father, who may not be able to be with us for whatever reason this morning. We just pray that you give them, that they may be well enough if they're sick, or whatever the reason may be, that they get themselves together and be willing to meet us here on next Sunday morning, Father, if that be your will. Father, we thank you for all you do for us, and we pray that you would watch over, and if you find this service faithful and acceptable, and that you might find this service faithful and acceptable in thy sight. These and all other blessings we ask in your Son, Jesus' name, the one who went up Calvary's hill, stretched out his arm, and died on yonder's cross. We ask all these blessings in his name. Amen. I'm a firm believer that the Word of God is a teacher of the things we need to keep in our hearts. And the older we get, the more we need reminding of what we have been taught early in life. If I told you you need to come to church each and every Sunday, many of you may say, well, we already know that. So why is Brother Carter repeating it to us? Well, when I look at the crowd, why do I see so many missing seats? One can only assume that if they're not working or not sick, they must have forgotten they were supposed to be here. This is why I believe we need a friendly nudging, a friendly reminder. Sometimes we need to hear things over again. Sunday is good for us to be in the household of the Lord. You may even decide to call upon someone that you see are missing today. Maybe just remind them that you must be sick. That's why you were not here last week. You just give them a reminder. Each and every month, you get a reminder for the bills that you owe. You remember and you know that you owe them, but you get a friendly reminder. This must be paid by next week. So why should someone be upset when the preacher calls up on a review lesson? They may tell you the reason that if you call a missing person, they may tell you the reason they did not come Sunday was that they didn't want to hear the preacher tell them, don't come to judge the preacher, but come to hear the preacher. The Word of God is like that. Let us take a look at the Lord's church this morning. Upon this rock I will build my church. The Church of Christ is not a denomination. While there are, at last count we heard, thousands of denominations in the world, not including groups that are supposedly religious, but that do not wear the name church. The church is not a political body. It is not a fraternity. It is not a social club. And certainly and for sure, it is not an entertainment center, although some would like it to be. It is not the building that we worship in, for ornaments and figures do not make a church. We don't come to worship the building anyway. Instead, the builder is who we come to worship. In Matthew 16, in verse number 18, the Bible says, Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church. This is showing who owns the church. It is not like the preacher's church, even though many times you hear people come out and the preacher might come over and say, why don't you come to my church? Well, literally, he doesn't mean his church because he's not the owner of it. Christ is the owner. It's not owned by the elders nor the members. It is owned by Jesus Christ, the builder. What is the church composed of? It's composed of called out believers. And none of us as human beings have the power given to them as Christ gave to Peter in verse number 19. Look at verse number 19 for a minute, if you will. Verse 19 says, And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Now, none of us have been given that power. So Christ must be the owner and builder since he built the church and he gave Peter these powers. Nor have we the power Christ gave the 70 in Luke 10 and 19. He said, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Now, how many of us want to go out and step on serpents and scorpions? Because we don't have that power that they won't hurt us. So we are not the owner of the church, but we have the privilege and opportunity to be members of the body of Christ. The church is and was built by Jesus and has a lifetime ownership to it. It is known as the church of the firstborn in Hebrews 12 and 23. It is the church where the gospel is given to all. The children of God can be heirs, where all of the names are written in heaven, where God will judge all, the Jews and the Gentiles. Yes, this church is the right church for all men. It is the one church that Jesus himself built. It is the only church in which the foundation is Christ. The church that Christ built is the only church where Christians are known as lively stones. The churches of men are different from the church built by the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. For men can add or take away from their churches, but only Christ can add to his church. It is stated in the Word of God in Acts 2:47. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. So one question you might have this morning, that is the church secure? The church is secured through the Word of God in our text. Verse 18 tells us the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. This is where the followers of Christ run into trouble with the wiles of Satan. But the church is where we can find help in our troublesome times. And the Word gives us the security of God's Word that Satan's attempt will not stand against the church. In Peter 1 and verse number 5, we are all kept by the powers of God unto salvation, through faith and unto salvation. So let me ask you a question this morning. Which church would you rather be in? One that doesn't have the assurance of the Word of God, or one with that's secured by the Word of God? Well, let us look for a minute. Man's church is built by men, that the Lord himself, the church of the Lord of Jesus Christ, is built by Jesus. Man's church can be destroyed. The Lord's church is indestructible. Man's church can fail while the Lord's church continues to grow. There are no worries or concerns about whether the Lord's church may fail due to lack of the headquarters being destroyed. For the headquarters is in heaven with its builder. Men one day shall come to die, but the Lord will be always with us, even unto the end of time. Would you rather be a part of the only blood-bought church? Would you rather give your money to an organization that is headed by Christ himself? Oh, I may as well speak on that giving there for a moment. Speaking of giving, while on this subject, we need to give more to the church. Many say they love the Lord but are not willing to give as they should. Just how much do you love him when you don't give much? Do you love him enough to give him a little more? Or do you love him to give him less? Are you giving as you have purpose in your heart, prospered in your heart? In 2 Corinthians 9 and 7, the Bible speaks of giving as you have purpose in your heart. Don't give because you don't want to hear me keep harping about it, but instead give because you love the Lord. Would you rather be a part of the only blood-bought institution or not? The mortgage company can't foreclose on the Lord's church, for it is paid for with the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, I'm not saying that an individual church can't get into trouble and lose their building. That's not what I'm saying. I'm simply saying the church itself will continue on even if one congregation loses its mortgage, loses its building. the church will still survive. Remember, I'm just reviewing now this morning. So if you're here and it sounds like you may have heard this before, you didn't hear this exact one, but you heard something similar. I just want to refresh your memory this morning of why the Lord's church is the reason we need to be in it. Now, you might not like this part. The Church of Christ don't do date nights. We don't have bingo nights here. We don't have the choir coming in this third Sunday of the month, every third Sunday of the month, because we don't have a choir. We don't have choir rehearsals either, because we don't have a choir. We sing with our heart, making melodies in our hearts as congregational singing. What Brother Hall led us in this morning. And you all sound like songbirds, so just keep up singing. We won't ever have to worry about having the choir. We should come here to serve the Lord as our only goal. And that goal should be for the purpose of getting to heaven. Now, when we go back to the text for a moment, in Matthew 16, 18, and I also say unto you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. Verse 19 says, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Now that's a powerful statement all about the Church of Christ. It's all about what we're serving in this morning. And I wish that I could say it was so many here this morning that we have standing room only. But I can't. Somebody found out that there's something more important than coming to church on Sunday morning. Somebody figured out that it's better that if I miss church today, for nobody will mind, nobody will miss me. Well, you will be missed. You'll be missed when you're not here. When I sit down, if you're not sitting next to me like you usually are, I miss you. And if you're not here, when Brother Hill takes the attendance, I hear about it eventually. And you're going to get a call from me if you've been gone two Sundays or more. So what are you saying, preacher? I'm simply saying this. You need to make up in your mind to be in church on Sunday morning, and the church to be in is the Lord's church. Anytime somebody can control everything we do and knows every hair on our head, we need to worship him. And that's Jesus Christ. Now, as I said, this is not a fraternal organization, so we don't endorse your favorite political figure. Now, I know there's a lot going on in this city of Chicago right now with politics. But we don't get into that from the pulpit. We might mention that you need to go out and vote to serve for your favorite candidate, but I'm never going to tell you who to vote for, because that would be getting into too much political turmoil. I can hear it now. Somebody said to me, will tell me, you told us to vote for so-and-so. I don't like him. Well, that's okay. Just vote for the candidate of your choice, but vote. It's very important that you vote when it's that time of the season. So then, what does the church do? Well, the church gives us directions to heaven. The church gives us the ability to serve the one true and living God. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So what are you saying, preacher? I'm simply saying this. We need to be where the Lord resides at on Sunday morning. Need to be in His house. And if we're in His house, then we're in the right house. It don't need to be the White House, but just the right house. We don't need to worry about if I'm politically correct when I'm in church. Am I religiously correct is more to the point. We don't need to worry about dressing up and being so, is the word the kids use, so fly each and every Sunday. We just need to be presentable and respectful to the Lord. And when I think about it, there's a lot more I could say on this subject, but I'm not going to this morning. I'll save that for another lesson. I just wanted to give you a quick review of some of the things you already know and or you already should know, and let you know that God is good. And all the time, God is good. Now, when I consider the fact of that airplane falling out of the sky. Now, no man saved them people, but God saved them. No man has the power to stop a giant aircraft like that and set it down gently enough that nobody was hurt. God did it. You've seen that those words before. God did it. And God did do it. And He will do it again if we just humble ourselves and serve Him. And the best place to serve Him is the church that He built with His own blood. He purchased with His own blood. Christ is the living God, church. And we must understand that as we serve the living God, we need to do what He says. We don't need to analyze it. We don't need to consider if what He really meant, we meant what He said. We don't need to worry about taking the sentence apart, but just serve Him. Serve Him because God is an almighty and all-powerful God. The God that we should love because we are to love our God with all our heart and our soul. Then we are to love our neighbor. But if you don't come to church, you may not know that unless you are a serious Bible student at home. And by being a serious Bible student at home, that means you have all your reference material and everything you need to do to study at home. And many of us don't have that at home, so we need to come to church. We need to hear somebody repeat it to us every so often. We need to hear somebody tell us this is what God meant when He said this or that. And the church is the vehicle that will get us to the Word of God. And I know many of you have Bibles at home. Some of you even have those big thick ones. But what good is it if it just sits around on the coffee table all the time? If it's never open until I come over and you make a point to show me. That's not what it's for, because I'm probably not coming to your house that often. So what are you saying, preacher? I'm simply saying, open the book on your own sometime. Study the Word of God. And I know you're going to get hung up, because if you don't study that often, you're not going to realize, understand what some of it means. That's why you got a telephone. Call Brother Jackson or call Brother Burnside or even call me, and I'll tell you whether I know the answer or not, and I'll refer you to, well, why don't you ask Brother Jackson? Or why don't you ask Brother Burnside? But you see, there's a place of starting, a starting point. Everything has a starting point. And it starts with you when it comes to your soul salvation. It starts and it ends with you. Now, what are you saying, preacher? I'm simply saying if you don't take the initiative to get started, You'll never move any further than where you already are. And we want to move forward, don't we, church? We want to be able to teach our young people valuable lessons. We want to teach others valuable lessons, adults as well. But we should be a reflection to our children especially. To let them know that this is why I go to church each and every Sunday, and I wish you would go along with me. This is why we need to be able to tell these kids why we go to church. This is the reason why we ought to be able to tell them the difference between all the vast number of denominational churches out here and the Church of Christ. Very simply put, the Church of Christ is the church that God built, Christ built. The others are man-made. That's why you'll see on some signs on the outside, founder. Founder, Reverend so-and-so, so-and-so. But see, Christ found the Church of Christ. He's the founder of this church. We just happen to have a man who preaches in it. And notice I said man who preaches in it. And when you see, when you open the door, if you decide to go to a church today and it's a denomination church, if you open the door and somebody's banging with the tambourine, you're in the wrong place. You want to walk in and have just a cappella singing. A cappella sing means that I might be in the right place. You want to see the name, the Church of Christ, on the outside of the building. Not the Church of God in Christ, the Church of Christ. When you see the Church of Christ, you know this must be the right place. And if you go up in there and somebody's on an instrument, leave. We don't do instrumental music in the Church of Christ. We're supposed to sing and make melody in our hearts. That's all. And I know some might say, well, preacher, I can't sing. I can't carry a tune. Well, jump on the bandwagon because your next door neighbor should be singing too, so you'll sound like you're harmonizing there. Just follow the leader. And so when you come into the church, how do I know if I'm in the right church? Well, you'll know by Matthew 16 and 18, if it was built by Christ, it's the right church. And what about all those people in there? Well, I wish we could say we had all those people in here, but just in case you walk in and they all seem to be intent on listening to the word of God, you're probably in the right place. Chances are you got a good chance of being in the right place. So with that said, I give you the lesson for review once again today. I will build my church. And he said, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So how do I become a member of the Lord's body? You come by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and then being baptized. Brother Jackson will be glad to step in the water today. Help cool him off. So if this is your desire, as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.